أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful, the praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, we beg Him for His forgiveness, we believe in Him, and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of Him, and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds, and He will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best guidance is the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we repeat every Friday, He reminds us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah haqqa tuqatih. O you who believe, have taqwa. Haqqa, the right way, the truthful taqwa, the truthful taqwa, the proper taqwa. Haqqa tuqatih, wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. And do not die unless you are Muslim. To the best of my knowledge, this was the advice of Prophet Ya'qub to his sons. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you believe, speaking to his own children, ittaqullah haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in His book, surely inna, those who purchase a small gain at the price of their covenant and oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that they trade their oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some gain in the dunya. They shall have no portion of paradise. Neither will Allah speak to them, nor look at them on the day of judgment, nor purify them. And they shall have a painful torment. What is this taqwa? We've covered this before, and it's important, inshallah ta'ala, that we understand that it comes with benefits. Linguistically, taqwa is derived from the word waqa, to guard, to preserve, to take good care of, to shield. Ittaqa, in this way, as a word in the language of Arabic, it means to be on guard. Ittaqa, be on guard. So ittaqullah means, as best as we can translate, be wary of Allah. Be wary, be aware. Now, depending upon the context, the shade of the meaning changes. Some may say, oh, fear Allah, take heed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be on guard of Allah. Again, as we explained before, taqwa does not mean khashya. In the sense of fear, is something in which there is a desire to overcome, a desire to repel. There is no necessarily respect, love, or admiration there. Fear, in the purest sense, is something that you want to be away from. You fear illness. You don't like the cold, you fear it. If it may kill you. Or a disease. Or a wild animal. Or some calamity. You fear that and you dislike it. That's not taqwa. You don't dislike Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't dislike His advice. So when someone says that taqwa, you don't dislike the advice. Disliking the advice makes you kafir. So that's not fear in the sense of what we mean here, especially in the language of English, which of course is nowhere near as adequate to explain these words. So when we taqa or ittaqa, this means that we have a healthy respect, and we don't want to fall into a trap of the shaitan, or fall into a trap of our own desires. We are wary that we may be walking off the path. It's the same way of saying, watch your step. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically telling us, okay, watch your step. You step there, you might fall off and really hurt yourself. So this is the advice. And this is how the Muslims are to understand. This taqwa is a ni'mah. It's a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives His servant. It's a high standard for the Muslim to have this in his chest and to always be on guard, always be aware when it comes to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-basir and al-khabir, the seeing and the well-informed. So there's nothing, when the Muslim realizes, there's nothing that is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nowhere that you can go. No thought that you can conceive that is hidden from Him. And so therefore the Muslim who Allah has blessed to have taqwa, he is always within himself on guard. He doesn't care if you see him or not. He knows Allah sees him, period. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this respect, this healthy respect that the Muslim must have, we must understand, you can't respect what you don't know. And this is one of the reasons why when the angels observe the human being making salah, they say, Ya Ibn Adam, O son of Adam, if you only knew who you were praying to. They see us absent-mindedly, half-heartedly, rushing or doing whatever when it comes to the salah. When it comes to our worship, period. Our worship is shameful. And in truth, that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some of us is not a priority. I can say this without reservation, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. When we examine our behavior, it is clear that there is something missing and lacking in our understanding. There is something missing and lacking in what we have as a concept of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is something missing in our understanding about what we have said, and that our tongue has signed an oath, an ahad, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a contract, and we have taken it for granted. As a result, if we look at the character of our community, we don't have to look outside. We don't have to point. Our community here, there is no discernible difference between us and those who do not believe. Our women are not wearing their hijab. And if they do cover their hair, most of them are Muslim from the neck up. That's that. God help you if you don't see their neck up. Then you look, oh, some Akim sister. Because their attire from the neck down don't look like a Muslim at all. Our brothers doing the same dirt as the kafir and have the nerve to try to justify it with Islam. We look haram, we smell haram, we eat haram, we buy haram, we sell haram, we marry haram, we have kids haram, and there we have the audacity to doubt al-Islam. Islam is perfect. It's the cure. But just like any medicine in the world, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it does the patient no good whatsoever if it is not used as directed. If you got a cold and you never take the remedy, then you can't complain about being sick. Such is our case. And it would seem as if we consistently shrink away from what we say we believe, because it seems like too much work to do what is required of us. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you as I remind myself of the hadith al-Qudsi, as transmitted by Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, when he said that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has said, O son of Adam, as long as you call upon me and ask of me, I shall forgive you for whatever you have done, and I shall not mind. O son of Adam, were your sins to reach the clouds of the sky, and you were then to ask forgiveness of me, I will forgive you. O son of Adam, alayhi salam, if you were to come to me with sins nearly as great as the earth, and to turn to me alone, ascribing no partners to me, I will bring you forgiveness nearly as great. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires first knowledge. And inshallah ta'ala, that knowledge brings about greater and greater taqwa. A taqwa, again, is the taking heed. That implies what? You heard the warning. And that implies what? You've received some information, which is knowledge. So how can you take heed of what you don't know? Are those who know like those who don't know? La yastawun. They are not the same. And so again, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, reflecting on the character of our community here, we have to embrace what is necessary to make a change within ourselves. And that means having knowledge and understanding. And first understanding the value of that knowledge, the benefits, and making it in our minds the priority. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, we will share with you two examples of taqwa in action. And inshallah ta'ala, bi'idhnillah, we will thereby increase our knowledge, our faith, and bi'idhnillah, our taqwa. As Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Holy Quran, وَلَقَدْ اخْتَرْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عَلَىٰ الْعَالَمِينَ. And for the children of Israel, it is referring to, surely we raise their esteem by granting them knowledge, عَلَىٰ الْعَالَمِينَ, above all the world. Among the children of Israel, there was a man whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored, giving him knowledge, and thereby he had no desire for the dunya. All that he did was supplicate and worship Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Constant dhikr, and when he wasn't making dhikr, he was making salah. Allah blessed him to receive such favor that he swiftly granted any of his supplication. Any need he had, Allah made it swift in reply. Years and years of dedication, years and years of avoiding the dunya, raised his status so much so that one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him sahaba. Sahaba, a cloud. Now you may think, a cloud? Listen, at his own disposal, When he needed something to drink, the cloud would pour water for him. When he needed to take a shower, the cloud would shower him. And wherever he needed to go, Allah blessed him that this cloud would carry him. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah bless this believer to pass many of his years enjoying this favor, but like the human being, he takes for granted what Allah gives him. And thus, he began to get slack and lazy and procrastinate in his supplication and worship. And so it was. One day he woke, and that cloud was gone. Desperate, he searched and called as he normally would. No cloud. And he finally realized his mistake and turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begging for forgiveness. Days, weeks, months, and ultimately years passed. And the believer realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had stopped answering his supplications. And this threw him into a deep depression. No matter whether the sun was rising or setting, it always found him in tears, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to restore his status. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, after crying himself to sleep one night, this believer met a man in his dream. And he spoke to him and he said, "Look, if you wish for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to return the cloud to you, go to such and such town and seek out its king. When you are able to gain an audience with him, he will return your cloud to you." The believer leapt from his bed and set out without haste to find this town. And after many, many days on foot and many, many, many miles away from home, he finally reached the town that he had saw in his dream. And although he was exhausted, he wasted no time before inquiring about where he may find this king so he can gain his cloud. Now, it was a short distance from the town that he found this castle and a throng of people outside of its gates. When he found himself before the gates, there was a long line of people. They were standing, waiting to gain audience from someone backed with guards and heavy armor and weapons, who was seated upon a throne of red gold encrusted with diamonds, rubies, and all manner of jewels. And although his appearance was regal, it was clear he was not the king. So, when he finally stood before him, man asked him, "What do you need?" He said, "I've traveled for a very, very long time and a long distance to meet with the king." Man said, "Well, you can't see him today. What do you want? Perhaps I can give it to you." He said, "No. What I need, you cannot provide." Fair enough. But the king only meets people on Friday after Salah. So don't waste your time waiting here. Come back on Friday. And so he left, and he waited. When he returned on Friday, the line was much, 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 much longer. And he waited, and he waited until he could get within eyeshot of the castle. And he waited, and he waited. And then he could see from a distance where the king was sitting. And he waited, and he waited, and finally, he saw the king seated on the ground, surrounded by people, and in his hand was a small cloud. He was shocked. And when he got close enough, the king saw him, and he pointed to him. "Oh, welcome, owner of the cloud. Come, sit by me. Have a seat. Wait until these people are finished, and we shall talk." The man was completely surprised. This believer who had traveled all this way and to see this king sitting there with his cloud in his hand, he was awestruck. and speechless. But he sat and he waited and waited until all of the people had finished, and the king bade him to follow him out of the court away into a private chamber. You should know that what they left was very regal, and where they went was through a small tunnel into a place that looked almost like a field. It had a door, but the door was a door that looked like it was woven of branches, very humble. And as they went beyond that, they went into a place of the castle that obviously hadn't seen any maintenance for at least a couple hundred years. The walls were in disarray, carpets very, very old. Nothing looked nearly as much as regal, rather, as the throne that set out in front of the castle. Nothing at all of the appearance of this place would make you think that it was a castle, let alone that place in which a king took as his residence. Not soon after, his wife, the queen, joined him. And the king asked, "Hey, do you know our guest?" And she said, "Yes, this is the owner of the cloud." And again, the believer was amazed. And so after a moment and he was seated, he said, "Would you like that I explain what you see before you? Or would you simply like me to grant your request so that you may go?" The believer was so stunned, he said, "You know, I almost forgot why I came here. Looking at what I see before me, please explain." And so the king told him, he said, "You know, this kingdom is one that has been passed down generation to generation. And my father and his father and his father and his father all were rulers of this kingdom until finally it came into my hands, and Allah blessed me to have no desire for the dunya. And I told my people that they should go and choose another king, but they came to me and they begged me and reminded me that there was no one who they trusted. And as I heard their stories, I realized that in fact they were truthful, in that should someone else come to power, he may lead them astray from Islam, from their deen, and thus lead them into destruction. And so I remained. But every day, I busy myself in worship and in supplication. And the only time that I go out before the people is as you saw me after the prayer on Friday. But any other time, you'll find me here with my wife weaving baskets that my servant goes and sells in the market and brings us back the profit, and this is what we live off of. And whatever is for the kingdom is for his people." The believer was shocked. And he found himself humbled by what Allah SWT has blessed this man, this king, to find a faith. And so the king bade him to stay the night. And the believer did. And in the middle of the night, he was awakened by the king and his queen. And they said, "Join us in salah." And after the salah, the king raised his hands and he said, "O Allah, this is your slave that has come to ask that we return his cloud to him. O Allah, you guided him to me, and O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask that you return it to him, for you are the one who has power over all things." And thus the cloud, before the dua was even finished, was sitting at his side. The king said to him, "It seems that Allah has replied to your request." And the man was in tears and he said, "Alhamdulillah." And he thanked the king and bade him farewell. And from that moment on, he always included the king and the queen in his dua. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swiftly answered all of his prayers. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he was asked, if the dead were raised from their graves and they could speak, what would they say? He said, they would only say one thing. We will say this in Arabic and inshallah ta'ala give you the best translation that is possible, and that is, إِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادَ التَّقْوَى. Surely, the best thing to pack on your trip to the grave is a taqwa. إِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادَ. Zad is provisions, supplies, what have you. The best thing to pack with you, take with you, is a taqwa. To paraphrase a common phrase, a taqwa, don't leave the dunya without it. That advice, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, cannot be better illustrated than the story of a Muslim once enslaved in this country. He was born Ayyub bin Suleiman Ibrahim Diallo in the kingdom of Fouta in Senegal about 1700 AD. Came up from a prominent Fulbe Muslim family, a family of religious leaders. And he so happened to be born in the very town that was founded by his grandfather. In 1730, while on a trip to the coast to buy paper and sell two of his father's servants to English traders, he was captured and sold into slavery by Mandingos who were enemies to his people. Thus he arrived in Annapolis, Maryland, on the very same ship that he had planned to sell the servants of his father too. Ayyub worked on the plantations of Maryland. And whenever he would retreat to the woods to make salah, the children would throw dirt in his face and mock him. You should know, dear Muslim brothers, that it was the habit in the South to take babies of slaves, babies and toddlers of slaves, tie one of their legs to the stump of a tree and let them frolic in the water nearby to bait alligators. This practice was so prevalent and it didn't occur to them that the humanity was so devoid in the hearts of these people at this time that the image of a baby crawling away from an alligator was commonly used in advertisements and to advertise products. They knew it was going on and didn't think anything of it. So it's important to understand the mentality that this Muslim in this time, in this day, in this era faced. They saw him as less than human, and they treated him as such. So his life was exceedingly difficult. I don't think anyone here now could possibly know. And I mention this, dear Muslim brothers and sisters,
So that you understand, especially those of you who have come to this country. This man, Ayyub bin Sulaiman
bin Ibrahim.
We know his name now because he fought to keep it.
He fought to keep it. No matter what he faced, no matter how much they tried to break him,
no matter what they did,
his name was Ayyub bin Sulaiman bin Ibrahim. And he let them know it.
Because
it was clear his identity as a Muslim was paramount.
His identity as a Muslim. That meant more to him than his life.
It's important that you understand that. Many of us here take our names so for granted that you don't miss it unless you lost it.
And you don't know. It's unfathomable to you. How can you lose your name? Let somebody strap you to a tree and whip you until you say it's something different.
Or nail you to the ground in the hot sun and beat you until you say something different. See how fast you will call yourself something different. But for us, some of us come here and all it does is take a business to say, I'm from Muhammad to Mo. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the persecution, the life that he had to live on the plantation was exceedingly difficult. And so he escaped. But unfortunately, he was recaptured and thrown into a Maryland prison. It is said that there, Ayyub did not leave a space on the wall in the cell that was not covered by the Holy Quran, that he wrote by his hand, and the word spread until it reached the ears of a man who himself was a minister named Thomas Blewett. And the stories were so incredible that he had to meet Ayyub for himself. He later wrote in his book, he was brought into the tavern to us, but he could not speak a single word of English. Upon our talking and making signs, he wrote a line or two before us, and when he read it, in it he pronounced the words of Allah and Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By which, and as well as his refusal of a glass of wine we offered to him, we perceived that he was Muhammadan. So that you know, this is what they called Muslims, Muhammadan, actually, you know. You know how all you have to do is give them an Arabic word and let them garble it. Anyway, he continued, by his affable carriage, in other words, the way he carried himself, the easy composure of his countenance, we could perceive he was no common slave. That line that he wrote, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, was, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now Ayyub remained in prison, but the news of his plight spread to the halls of the elite, and thus, in 1733, he was emancipated from prison and put into the service of the Royal Society in England, where there Allah blessed him to write several copies of the Holy Quran in his own hand from memory. And so it was, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that in 1734, just a year later, due to his fierce adherence to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the strength of his faith, and the fortitude of his taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freed him. And he was returned to his home in Africa, a free man. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you of this or mention this story to you in order to illustrate the ayah of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in his book, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And for the one who has taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make an exit for him out of his difficulty. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, your fortune is in your faith. Your fortune is in your faith. Invest in it and it'll grow. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you of this as I remind myself, that we have this responsibility. We, the Muslim, have been given this guidance. We couldn't have asked for it. But just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he stopped answering the prayers of this believer. And he took away his cloud. The same can happen to us with regards to the facility of this masjid. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something positive, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, know that the opposite is true. Just as the positive is true, the negative is true. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِّدَنَّكُمْ. If you show that you are grateful, he will give you increase. Same is true, the opposite. You keep showing you ungrateful, he's going to show less and less and less. You will have less and less and less. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ. You show gratitude, لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ. I will give you more. So dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised us to make in the dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa tuqa wa afafa wa ghina. O Allah, I ask you for guidance, for the guidance, for at-taqwa, for chastity, and for abundance. Ameen. May Allah grant us this taqwa because it's from Him. And save us from being amongst those whom He writes as being ungrateful. Because surely the ingrate is always losing. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we need what Allah has to give us. And thus, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, do not let what Allah has put in your pocket bear witness against you on the day of judgment. That when you were called to serve Him and to place what He put in your pocket in the service of His face and His house, you ran. Please, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, don't let that be you. I remind you of this, inshallah ta'ala, as I remind myself, so that you know when we come to the masjid, inshallah ta'ala, we have to show our gratitude. The character of the Muslim is karrama, to show appreciation. This is the character of the Muslim. I don't know where that got lost. But this is the character of the Muslim. Many of our Muslim brothers and sisters from overseas, they'll tell you, it's almost unheard of to go to somebody, just to go to somebody's house and not have something to give them. Am I right or wrong? Wallahi al-Azim, if you go
it's the worst of matters to show that somebody's doing empty-handed.
For anything, just to go over, salamu alaykum, whatever it is, bismillah.
This is the manners of the Muslim. But we come to the house of Allah looking for everything and don't bring nothing and leave, not leaving nothing. What is wrong? What is wrong, dear Muslim brothers and sisters? So please, ittaqullah haqqa tuqatih.
Take heed of Allah as you should take heed of Him, inshallah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وتوفنا من المسلمين ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر.